Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We welcome you. Basic Gospel, of course, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook, and we, of course, are studying through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, which we have been for the past number of weeks, and we'll be picking up today on page 96 with the Galatians passages. So if you have your study guide, go ahead and turn to that page right now, page 96, because it is our Friday study edition, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we're learning how to live a Sunday life in a Friday world. That title is based on a sermon that S.M. Lockridge did a number of years ago. It's Friday, Sunday's coming, and it's very evangelistic, powerful. But for those of us who are in Christ, Sunday's already here. Yep. We've already received the gift of God's Spirit. We've been made alive together with Christ. But God left us in this world, and this world is not for us, it's against us. Jesus said that time and time and time again to prepare us, to warn us. So the question is, how do we live that Sunday life in a Friday world? And as we've gotten down to it, it comes to this. Either we're going to live by law, and that's how the world lives. That's the way of the world, or we're going to live by grace through faith in Jesus. And it's a very clear choice. It's black and white. There's no shades of gray as far as how we're to live the Christian life is concerned. It is always from start to finish by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes.
But that raises the question, well, what then was the purpose of the law? And we've discussed over the last several weeks that God gave the law first and foremost to Israel. It was a covenant between God and the nation of Israel. Gentiles weren't included in that Mosaic law, but we were under the universal law of sin and death. The soul that sins will surely die. That blanketed everyone. So
yes,
no one was out from underneath that. But the Mosaic law, God used it in a spiritual way to help identify, to help us identify our true condition apart from Christ, like an x-ray, like an MRI, like a lot of the diagnostic tools that physicians use today to identify the problems that people are experiencing. Now, those diagnostic tools cannot cure. They never solve the diseases that they point out. They simply point them out. So a cure is going to be found elsewhere. So once we come to grips with the fact that we're sinners, that we're dead spiritually, now we know our problem. Now we have to find out, is there a solution? Well, that solution is contained in the good news, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And once we have been cured, once we have been made alive together with Christ, the law has served its purpose. We don't need it anymore. We don't need that Correct. As a guide for life. Now we have God's Spirit living inside of us, and our life is to be lived by faith in Jesus. And he's going to produce his life in and through us. That's the way it's set up. That's the way it works. Now, there's a lot of people that want to hold on to that law and say, no, 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 don't take that away from me. It's like Linus with his security blanket.
Yes.
You know, try to take that away from me, I'm going to fight you. And the reason is because they haven't come to grips with what it means to walk by faith in Jesus. So they're hanging on to that law. Well, it never produces in their lives what they're hoping for it to produce. And last week we looked at a number of things that the book of Galatians points out about those who continue to hang on to the law for their right standing with God. And what we looked at last week is those who do that desert the one who called them. So they run away from Jesus. We don't need to trust him. Why? Because it's all about human effort. It's about what we can bring to the table. They turn to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all.
Yeah.
There's no good news in trying to bootstrap your way up to right standing with God. You'll never get there. You just don't have what it takes. There's confusion. And I think this word probably characterizes the Christian world better than any, don't you, Richard?
Yeah, yeah. When you look around at what goes on in typical churches, well-meaning people. I mean, these aren't people who are trying to do bad things, but you find them constantly thanking Jesus for something and then turning around and trying to do it on their own, and then they fail, and now they have to go to Jesus and beg him for the thing they just thanked him for, and you go around and around and around, and your brain just gets tired. And if you get deeply enough into it, it will actually affect your health because your body can't deal with that kind of stress.
Right. So this confusion, James described it this way, double-minded and unstable in all ways. That's what we see out there in the Christian world. We don't know how the Christian life is really supposed to work. So we go back to human effort, and we apply that generously and fail every time that we do. So we see a lot of confusion out there. We see a lot of people pleasers.
Yes.
We see a lot of people trying to please those that are in leadership or those that they deem are important or of value in the Christian world. We saw that in the book of Galatians. You know, these Judaizers came from Jerusalem. And so we think, wow, they must be really important. And all of those in the province of Galatia started to kowtow to their desires.
Yes.
Well, whatever you say we're supposed to do, we're willing to do it. And how we're supposed to do it, and with all the right enthusiasm and passion and all of those sort of things, just so we can be right in your sight. So we have a lot of people pleasers out there. We have folks that are fearful of others. I mean, when you're trying to please people, then you automatically become fearful of what they're going to think about you. So we see a lot of fear out there. We see a lot of division within the body of Christ when we don't grab hold of the simple plan of God by grace through faith in Jesus. We see a lot of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Peter was hypocritical. Man, he was eating with the Gentiles, and then when these people from Jerusalem came, and he left that Gentile table and just went over with the Jews. And so Paul said, you're being hypocritical. And in that, he led others, even Barnabas, to join him in that hypocrisy. So we see a lot of negative things happen, and I don't see one positive thing that happens when human effort is the way of life for the believer. And so we also saw that people weren't acting in line with the truth of the gospel. And today we're going to pick up in Galatians 2:21. And this is a powerful statement from the Apostle Paul. And Richard, would you read this passage for us, Galatians 2:21?
Sure. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing.
So Paul is making a declaration that he is not going to set aside the grace of God. He realized that the grace of God saved him, made him alive together with Christ, gave him a purpose in life, and he wasn't going to set that aside and take up something else to move him forward.
Yeah.
So those who are relying on human effort, who are relying on obedience to the law for their right standing with God, what in essence are they doing?
Oh, completely rejecting Jesus. They're making him of none effect.
Absolutely.
You should have stayed home.
Yeah, they're setting aside the grace that's been given to them in Christ. And who wants to do that? And yet that's what so many people are doing all across this land, all across this world, who are naming the name of Jesus. They are rejecting the way of grace. They are grabbing hold of human effort, and in so doing, they're setting aside the very thing that saved them. And Paul said, I'm not going to have any of that, and he is encouraging us, warning us to not fall into that trap, to embrace the grace of God. Let it be your way of life from start to finish. So it's a powerful declaration there. Then in Galatians 4:9, so if you're not going to take up this new life in Christ and fully embrace it and walk by grace, you're going to have to return to something. And here Paul really
yes.
you know, lays the hammer out and says, here's what you're doing.
So, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?
So if you're not going to take up this new life of by grace through faith in Jesus, you got to take up something.
Yeah.
And how does Paul describe what these folks were taking up?
Weak and miserable forces.
Weak and miserable forces. In other words, they can't really do anything for you. I love those passages in the Old Testament where the prophets are talking about the idols that were among the people. And these prophets, you know, from Isaiah to Jeremiah and all of them, they were just very sarcastic in the way they described it and said, okay, so you want your, you think your idol can do something for you. Well, let me ask you a question. When that idol needs to move, how does it move from point A to point B? Well, I've got to go pick it up, lift it up off of that spot, and walk it over to where I want to place it. So you mean it doesn't have power to get from point A to point B on its own? Absolutely not. Well, then why in the world are you worshiping it? Because it is weak and miserable. There's nothing to it.
Nothing.
And that's what he's saying, that when you're taking up the mantle of human effort as your way of life, you're returning to weak and miserable forces. There's no real power there. There's nothing that can generate in you the life that is pleasing to God. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And for goodness sakes, people, he's been placed inside of you. He's come to live inside of you. Let him do what only he can do. So don't pick up those weak and miserable forces. And here's the thing. When you do, what's the result of that?
Slavery.
Slavery. I mean, God has set you free from that. Why would you want to go back to slavery? Doesn't make any sense, does it?
None at all.
And he continues with this theme in Galatians 5:1, a powerful, powerful verse. And I certainly encourage you to highlight this, underline it. Read this for us, and then we'll take a quick break.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
So when you are setting aside the grace of God, picking up human effort, what are you doing? Allowing yourself to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And that's not why Christ died. That's not why Christ was raised again, so that you could go back to slavery. He was raised from the dead. He shed his blood once and for all to set you free once and for all, so that you could march forward and experience this freedom to the max. Yep. That's what this grace of God is all about.
As you said, for heaven's sake, people.
That's right.
Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Edition from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. If you don't yet have a copy, we encourage you to visit simplegospelsimplygrace.com. That's a special website that we've established just for this particular purpose. You'll find the book and the study guide, Simple Gospel Simply Grace, when you visit that website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. And we want to thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do, and that is, of course, to take the truth of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to so many who are searching, who are hurting, who need to hear what he has done for them and ready to put inside them, as we've been talking. You know, we've seen it so many times over the years that when the truth is heard, when the truth takes root, new life, a forever changed life, is the result. And when you give and someone hears, believes, and begins to live the life of Jesus, well, you have a part in that. So we ask you to help today. Help us keep the good news coming. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. And when you do, there's a special gift that will be you have the opportunity to request. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Let's keep the good news going.
Well, thanks, Bob. Two last things about those who take up the mantle of human effort as the way of the Christian life. In Galatians 5:13, I think we see the saddest commentary on that life. And read that passage for us, Richard, Galatians 5:13.
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love.
Yeah. So here's the call. We're to serve one another humbly in love, mm-hmm. but we really can't do that through human effort.
No.
Because we're just so concerned and consumed with ourselves, with how are we doing. And here's the reality. As we judge, as we make a judgment about how well we're doing in the Christian life, we're going to see that we fail time and time again. And so we're going to start feeling distant from God. We're going to start feeling that he's angry with us. And then those fleshly desires are going to start speaking to us and saying, don't you deserve a little pleasure? Don't you deserve a little happiness in life? Don't you deserve a little bit of this, a little bit of that? And you start thinking, well, yes, I do. I mean, I'm just miserable. I'm trying. I'm doing the best that I can, but I'm failing every step of the way. I'm frustrated. I'm just disgusted with myself. I'm just going to do something, grab hold of something that's going to make me feel better. And what is that? Indulging the desires of the flesh. We see people who are still trying to live by the letter of the law, the most trapped in sin.
Yes.
It's just the way it is. And the harder you try to break free from that sin, the tighter the trap becomes. So people who have set aside the grace of God, who have taken up the mantle of human effort, obedience to the law by human effort, they're going to be the folks that are indulging the flesh.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
It is.
But it's the reality. It's why we see the statistics in the church almost paralleling what's going on out there in the world. Alcohol addiction, drug addiction, fornication, pregnancy before marriage, divorce, all of these sort of things, they're happening within the confines of the church in a very similar way that they're happening out there in the world. Why? Because we have abandoned the real way forward into this newness of life. And the last thing that we're going to see is in Galatians 5:15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What does a start of human effort lead to? Biting and devouring one another.
Yeah.
That's not love. That's not what relationships are supposed to look like, but that's what they become under the pressure, the intense scrutiny of the law. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing out there as well, isn't it?
Yeah. The fact is that to love someone requires Jesus working from the inside out. We've talked about this 1,000 times. If you're going to try to use the law by human effort, by definition, everyone else has to serve me.
Yes.
And when that becomes the direction of service, the only thing that can happen is getting trapped in the flesh, because you didn't serve me properly. I deserve the happiness. I'm going to find someone else who will serve me properly. And now I've made myself God. What I've really done is aligned myself with Satan, and it can only fail. And
yes,
that's the tragedy in the church, because in Christ, you've got forgiveness for all of that stuff. You've got the power in you to resist that stuff. But as long as we keep trying and trying and trying, we will keep failing and failing and failing.
Yeah, it's a sad picture, and envision this, that in Christ, we've become butterflies. We've been changed. We were once caterpillars, now we're butterflies. And through human effort, it's a bunch of butterflies crawling on the ground as if they were caterpillars.
Yeah.
And the grace of God is saying, get up and fly. Mm-hmm. Live out who you are in Jesus.
Yeah.
Let the Spirit of God lift you up and take you to new heights as a human being. Live out your real potential, what God has actually designed you to be as a human being, walking in dependence upon him.
Yeah.
So the law had a purpose. It was to show us our condition apart from Christ, but it served a greater purpose. And we're going to read about that in Galatians 3:17 through 18. So we write this question, the law has a purpose, and that is to show you your need for Christ. But that purpose does not supersede God's greater purpose for you. So how does Paul explain this greater purpose in Galatians 3:17 and 18?
What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it, the promise, to Abraham through a promise. He gave Abraham an inheritance through a promise, not through a law.
That's exactly right. So if he gave it as an inheritance through a promise, then whether Abraham received it or not was based on God's effort to deliver, on God's faithfulness to deliver. And God is never going to back away from a promise.
No.
He is never going to reverse a promise that he has given. It's irrevocable. So when God promises something, you can count on him to deliver it. Why? Because he is faithful and just. That's just who God is. So Abraham didn't receive that promise because he was a super spiritual dude. He hadn't done any great things to merit that type of reward. God simply showed up and blessed him and said, here's the promise. Now, the law doesn't do away with that promise.
No.
The law simply serves that promise. Why? Because he wants you to receive that promise. He wants me to receive that promise. There's only one way, by faith. So he has to show us that that's the only way, and he did that through the law.
Yes.
So it's serving this greater good. So in Galatians 3:14, what is that promise that we have received that was told way back when to Abraham?
He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
There is a statement.
There is a statement. So that Spirit of God was given to you because of a promise.
Yes.
God was faithful. God is just. He delivered. And so when we come to faith in Christ, then we receive that promise. We receive the Holy Spirit. He's alive, living inside of us. The law has done its purpose, and the law has actually stepped aside and said, Holy Spirit, he's all yours.
Yeah.
Take over. Take over. Now, one last passage. We live in a new way of the Spirit, but now, this is Romans 7:6, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. So what once bound us was sin and death. We were held there by the law. But now through faith in Jesus, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So we're not to serve in that old way of the written code.
No.
We're not to live by that. We're to live by the Spirit. That's the newness of life we've been called to experience. So don't sell yourself short. Don't grab hold of something that's never going to deliver you to your stated goal, to your stated purpose. Set that aside. Set the law aside and walk in the Spirit, and you will experience the fruit of the Spirit.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob and Richard, for some wonderful teaching on this edition. Friends, we're glad you joined us for this study edition of Basic Gospel. And again, you can find the study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion book, or the vice versa, you might put it. You can find it at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. But again, we invite you to join with us, friends. The blessing of your gift through Basic Gospel can make the difference in someone's life. And we encourage you to partner with us. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love to have you come alongside us. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we wish you a wonderful weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.